Now, our lesson today, still in the book of Exodus, will be taken from chapter 16. Book of Exodus, chapter 16. Let me read the opening verses by way of introduction. Exodus 16, verse 1. And they took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month, after their departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots, when we did eat bread to the full. For ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Let us stop there for a moment. Let us bow for prayer. Our Father, we turn instinctively to Thee. This is Thy Word that we are reading, and we want Thee to speak to each of us through Thy Word. Grant, O God, that we may be receptive to the truth that's made known in the Holy Scriptures. Look down in mercy upon every listener today. Bless them with the blessing they stand in need of. And may the Lord be glorified through this broadcast. For His own name's sake we ask it. Amen. Now when we come to chapter 16, remember this. They have moved from the restful enjoyment of Elim. We drew attention to that in our last lesson, that the last verse of chapter 15 says, And they came to Elim, where were 12 wells of water and 70 palm trees, and they encamped there by the waters. The Lord allowed them to encamp, so that they would be able to renew their strength. It was a place of refreshment, a place of rest, a place of retreat. But the time has come for them to move on, for they're going on towards the promised land. The experience at Elim was only a little foretaste of what God had in store for them in the land of promise. And you know, sometimes in our Christian experience here, we come to places like Elim, places of rejoicing, places of refreshment, places of rest. But these are only little foretastes of the heaven that awaits us. But now they've got to leave this place called Elim, with its wells of water and its palm trees. And as pilgrims, they move onward and pass into the wilderness of experience. It is good for us who profess to be Christians from time to time to remind ourselves that we are not in this world forever. We are not fixtures down here. We are simply pilgrims passing through. We are strangers in a strange land. We are pilgrims because we are going on, and we are strangers because we are away from home. This earth is not our home, but we are going home someday. And so therefore we're pilgrims and strangers. We're passing through the wilderness of experience. The things I would draw your attention to, of course, in chapter 16 is simply this. First of all, we must consider the murmuring multitude. And then we shall look at the modesty of Moses. And then last of all, the outstanding passage in chapter 16, that which deals with the miracle of the manna. Notice then the murmuring multitude. In fact, I suggest to you that in the quietness of your own home, you should take your Bible and read the whole of this chapter, and take special note of the number of times that you read the word murmur. You know, it is used quite a number of times in this chapter. then note that this murmuring took place in the wilderness of sin. Notice also that they wrongly estimated the purposes of God, and thus they murmured. They wrongly expressed the conditions which prevailed in Egypt, and thus they murmured. You see, when they began to think of where they were, they murmured, and they're saying to Moses and Aaron, "Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt. Have you brought us out here to kill us in this wilderness with hunger?" You see, their attitude was one of murmuring. Who was it that brought them out? Why, of course, it was the Lord. Had the Lord brought them out to kill them in the wilderness? Of course not. He brought them out from the bondage of Egypt, and God's mind was that they should go on to the promised land. But they took up this attitude of murmuring. And then when they thought of Egypt, they no longer thought of the brick kilns and the lash of the taskmaster and all the slavery down there. Why, they thought only, they said, "We sat by the flesh pots. And when we were down there, we could eat bread to the full," which wasn't true. And then they forgot that they were slaves down there. But they're thinking of what used to be, at least that was their estimate. But they wrongly expressed the conditions which prevailed in Egypt. And they wrongly estimated the purposes of God. Then we have the answer of God. God graciously answered their murmuring with a promise of supply. Now remember, they were still under grace and not yet under law. The law was not given until you come to chapters 19 through 23. However, at this moment, they're still under the grace of God. God answered their murmuring. But I want you to take note then of the modesty of Moses. The multitude of the people blamed Moses for bringing them out from Egypt and suggested that they would die in the wilderness. But Moses instructed them to the effect that it was the Lord who brought them out and that the Lord was capable of sustaining them in the wilderness. The Lord will never bring us to any place where he cannot sustain us. So he was able to sustain them even in the wilderness. And he did, you know, he sustained that whole nation for 40 years in the wilderness. Then said Moses, "What are we that ye murmur against us?" This was a true mark of modesty. Now let's see how he said this. In verse 8, "And Moses said, This shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to the full. For that the Lord heareth your murmurings, which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, Say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, Come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. It came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud." Now, as you read these things, you realize this, that Moses took a very modest place here. "Why blame me?" he said. "Who am I? I'm simply a nobody. Why do you murmur against me?" After all, he said, "You're really murmuring against the Lord and not against me. What are we that you murmur against us?" He took the humble place and realized this, it was the Lord that was leading them. And so therefore, if they were murmuring, their murmurs were against the Lord. But the Lord heard their murmurings, the Lord was gracious unto them, and he said that he would supply them with bread. In verse 16 it says this: "This is the thing which the Lord hath commanded, gather of it every man according to his eating, an omer for every man according to the number of your persons. Take ye every man for them which are in his tents." And the children of Israel did so, and gathered some more, some less. When they did meet it with an omer, he that gathered much had nothing over, and he that gathered little had no lack. They gathered every man according to his eating. And Moses said, "Let no man leave of it till the morning." And it came to pass, verse 22, "And it came to pass that on the sixth day they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. He said unto them, This is that which the Lord has said, Tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which ye will bake today, and seethe that ye will seethe, and that which remaineth over lay up for you to be kept until the morning." They laid it up till the morning as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, "Eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none." And so on. When you come to the end of the chapter, here is what we read, verse 34. "The Lord commanded Moses, so Aaron laid it up before the testimony to be kept. And the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years until they came to a land inhabited. They did eat manna until they came unto the borders of the land of Canaan." You see, here then we have the record, and I have read some of the verses to you, trusting you shall read the whole record at home, of the miracle of the manna. Now, the word manna means, what is it? When the children of Israel went out in the morning and they saw the manna lying on the ground, they didn't know what it was. And they said, "What is it?" For they knew not what it was. However, if you think of manna, meaning what is it, you can answer it like this: it is the bread from heaven. And then it also means it is a portion. So if they weren't sure what it was when God supplied it, remember, a lot of people today are saying the same thing: what is it? Well, we can tell you this is bread from heaven. It is a portion. And you say, what is? Well, you would have to go over to the New Testament and read through quite a lengthy chapter, the Gospel according to John chapter 6, where the Lord Jesus Christ said, "I am the true bread. I am the bread of life. I am the bread that came down from heaven." What the manna was to the children of Israel in the Old Testament, the Lord Jesus Christ is to us in the New Testament. He is the true bread sent down from heaven. He is the bread of life. Now, here are some things you might want to take note of in connection with this manna. It is a portion. The thing I notice first of all is this: it was a sufficient portion. No one had to lack. There was no lack. God supplied sufficient for everyone. No one needed to go to bed hungry, for God had supplied enough. God can meet the need of all his people, and his supply will always be more than enough for the demand. Then I notice that it's a strengthening portion. The manna from heaven contained all the necessary vitamins for building a strong, healthy body, because the mighty God knew exactly what the people required, and so gave them food to strengthen them. After all, they required to be strong for the wilderness journey. Some of these men had to be made strong, ready for the battle. And so, therefore, here was a strengthening portion. May I remind you, my friend, that the Lord Jesus Christ is a strengthening portion for all his people. Why, if every Christian today would just feed their soul on things pertaining to the Lord Jesus Christ, they would be stronger. That is, spiritually. You would be a strong spiritual Christian if you would feed your soul on the things pertaining to the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the bread of life. Feed on him. I notice also it was a sweet portion. The psalmist, when speaking about the word of God, said, how sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. And that's exactly what they said about the manna when they tasted it. It was as sweet as honey. My friend, let me tell you this. The things of God are sweet. I wonder if people have lost their appetite for the Word of God. Have they lost their appetite for truth pertaining to the person of Christ? Oh, let us be like the psalmist. How sweet are thy words unto my taste, yea, sweeter than honey to my mouth. Does the reading of the Word of God become a chore to you, or is it a delight? Do you simply endure listening to the Word of God being read, or do you enjoy it? Oh, my friend, it's a sweet portion. Let us then be ready to dwell upon the sweetness of the Word of God. It's so easy to sing, how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear. Well, if it is, my friend, let us take time to read more and more about the Lord Jesus Christ in his word. Then there's something else I want you to note about the manna as a portion. It is a suitable portion. You know, God supplied one kind of food for all ages and all tastes. Think of the variety of people who made up that nation. There were little children who were newly weaned. When they were born, their mother would feed them, but the day would come for the child to be weaned, and the question would arise, what shall we give this little child? And the answer is, manna. But then, what about the growing youth? The boy who is using up a lot of his energy? The boy who needs to be strengthened in the years of his growth? What shall we give him? Same answer. Give him manna. What about the mother who's raising the children? What special food shall we give her? The answer is manna. But what about the aged man, the old man, perhaps whose appetite is different, whose digestive organs are not the same as they used to be? What shall we give the old man? The same answer, give him manna. They were all fed with the same food, although it's obvious it was prepared in different ways. For they were told that they were to seethe that they would seethe, and bake that they would bake. In plain words, if they were going to give manna to the little child, they would take the manna and they would pound it in the bowl, in the mortar, with the pestle. It would be pounded into a smooth flour or powder, and then it would be mixed with the water, and it would be seethed, and so therefore it would be suitable for the little child. And then the young man perhaps would just take it as it was, or he would bake it, and it would be baked into little cakes, and they would eat these. And the old man, of course, could have it made up whichever way suited his taste. So you see, while it was a suitable portion for all ages, it would be prepared in different ways. May I suggest that when we come to the Word of God, it's the same. You know, one of the writers of the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, he wrote to certain people, and he said, I've had to treat you like children. I've had to treat you just as if you could only take milk, while you ought to have been able to have taken strong meat. Some of us, you know, it may be when we're at the stage where we ought to be taking strong meat, we're still just taking the milk of the Word. It's good to take the milk of the Word. It's good for you. But there comes a time when we ought to be able to take strong meat. If you don't believe me, just pick up some of the commentaries written by men of 100 years ago or 200 years ago. You try to read them and you'll discover this. They were dealing then with the strong meat of the Word. Today we're getting a lot of things that are simply like milk, wishy-washy kind of teaching today, compared with the old solid food of a bygone generation. So make sure that you get the suitable portion. I notice also it was a sure portion. While passing through the wilderness, there would be many things that would be marked by uncertainty. But of one thing that could be absolutely certain, that is the faithfulness of God in providing for daily needs. Oh, my friend, we can rest assured of this, that in a changing world, in a changing culture, God never changes and God's Word never changes. It abides the same. We can thank God for His faithfulness, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I notice also it was a satisfying portion. You know, when the prodigal was sitting away down in the far country, trying to fill himself with the husks that the swine did eat, nothing to satisfy there. And all of a sudden he began to think of his father's home. He could picture in his mind the father's table being spread at lunchtime or at supper time. And he could see the servant sitting at their table, and his father sitting there with the family. Oh, and he said, in my father's house, there is bread enough and to spare. Bread enough and to spare. And he was down in the far country, perishing with hunger. Now remember, back there in the wilderness, no Israelite need go to bed hungry. The manna was so constituted that it could satisfy the greatest appetite. And may I suggest, if there are hungry souls in the world today, if there are Christians who are hungry for the Word, let me tell you, my friend, you have your Bible. You can read your Bible. You can read it from Genesis to Revelation. You can feed upon the things of God, and you'll find these things are a satisfying portion. The manna could satisfy the hungry Israelites. The Lord Jesus Christ, the bread that came down from heaven, can satisfy the hungry soul today. Then I notice it was a sustaining portion. The people who fed on daily manna, remember, were sustained for 40 years in the wilderness. They were eating the manna day by day, and for 40 years in that wilderness, yet they were able to engage in battle and able to accomplish victories for the Lord. No one ever died of malnutrition while passing through the wilderness as long as they ate the manna that God provided. If you and I will feed on the spiritual food that God has provided for us, may our prayer ever be, Lord, evermore give us this bread.